Just for those who haven't been visiting or are visiting tonight, we've been doing like a mini series thing, I don't know what you call it, on the difference between accountability and what that looks like versus policing, and it's been like a up and down and in between and all of that. Last week, we learned about satellites and GPS systems and stuff. We'll carry on with that tonight, but just a quick recap. So biblical accountability is taking responsibility for one's own decisions, because every decision has an action and it has a result. And so if we're making good decisions, we're going to be doing good things and we're going to have good results. If we're doing bad things, then we try to blame everybody except for ourselves. And so we don't want to police. We want to be accountable to the Lord first and then to each other. Having said that, we want to have freedom. So like, we believe in digging wells, not putting up fences. What I mean by that is, it's easy to go, these are the rules, these are the regulations, stick within them, get into the fence, and then no one can escape. We don't want a bold church like that. We want to dig wells, so we want to have Jesus part of our meetings, part of our preaching, part of our worship. And when Jesus is here, and he's the living water, right? So get the metaphor. When he's here, when he's doing things, when he's making our hearts alive, when he's transforming our minds, what happens is there's life that comes with that. And when there's life, people want to come and drink of it. You know, think of a desert. If you're in a desert and there's one well point and that's the only place where you're going to get water, where are you going to go? And so we want to dig wells, but there are parameters, there are rules and regulations that God has put down, not us, not me. That if we live in them, there's health and there's life. Does it make sense? Okay, so that's a very quick recap on the last, I don't know how many months or weeks or whatever it was. Last week, and then I ran this morning. It was horrible. My body wasn't working. I had some heart pains and things. It was terrible. No, it wasn't good. But anyways, I'm still alive, so it probably wasn't my heart. Probably just... And so last week we spoke about three things. Well, I started speaking about three things. GPS, in order for this watch to work, to track me, it needs at least three satellites that ping the watch, that tell me where I am, where I'm going, what my altitude is, and I ran flat today, which is great. So it was just sea level running. And so last week, the first satellite we looked at was the Word of God. And the Bible, I didn't say this last week, but the Bible is a phenomenal book. It's the bestseller every year. It's 66 books written over 1,500 years by over 60 authors in three languages on three continents. And it says one thing. It talks about God and his son Jesus. And there's hardly any errors. Like if there's any errors, it's 0.5% errors, and it's normally a comma or a spelling mistake here or there. But it's just a phenomenal book, because it's not just a book. It's the Word of God. And so that was the first satellite. It's the only tangible thing that we have that we can put on our phones or have in our hands that tells us about who God is, what he's like, what he's about, why he created us. It's an amazing thing. It's life-changing. And last week we looked at, are we reading the Bible the way that God wants us to read it? And remember, we spoke about eisegesis versus exegesis. So eisegesis, I want to read into the Bible what I wanted to say versus what the Bible actually wants to say. The second satellite is what we're going to look at tonight. So if the Word is pinging us, that's a good thing. The second satellite is the Spirit of God. And so if we have the Bible pinging us and the Spirit of God, we are really moving towards the right track. And there's health and safety in that, if that makes any sense. And so can I ask us to do something very quickly? On the count of three, why is this thing closing all the time? I've changed something. It keeps unlocking on me. I don't know. Who knows Apple stuff? It sounds like a lot of hard work. Okay, I'll just put my thumb in. So I want to ask you to do something quickly. Can you, on the count of three, speak to the people around you, just like you're having a conversation quickly? And I want to just illustrate something very quickly. So on the count of three, just start a conversation. One, two, three, go. And so, Awesome. That's amazing. Okay, come back. So I'm going to just close in prayer very quickly. The Lord has done amazing things here. Like some of you guys are looking at me and you got what I said. Hey, who heard what I said? What? You didn't hear what I'm saying? Why not? Yeah, because I've preached my preach already. I just did it while you guys are talking. You say you didn't hear what I'm saying? Oh. So this is the point I want to make. All of us want to hear the Spirit of God. But I want to start here. How many voices are speaking to us all the time that God is actually speaking? And I was speaking. I did half of my preach in like 2 seconds. And because there's so much chatter, so much stuff going around, so many voices, that you couldn't actually hear anything I said. And so I think the same thing happens with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is speaking through the Word of God every single day. And He might actually use people. He might use circumstances. He might use whatever He wants, because He's God. He used donkeys. He used crazy things through there. And so the first thing I want to say about the Holy Spirit is this. It's not a thing. He's not a thing. He's not a ghost that's airy fairy that's trying to traumatize people. He is a person. Specifically, the third person of the Holy Trinity. We have God the Father, who is a person. God the Father is in control of everything. The whole Bible, the whole world, our salvation, our families, the way we think is all about God the Father. The gospel is not about us. Church is not about us. It's about Him. Church is His way of allowing us to come together to learn about who He is so that we can go and tell other people about His awesomeness. The gospel is not about us. He didn't have to save us. He doesn't have to save us. He doesn't have to love us. He doesn't. He does it because He's awesome. And what a privilege and a blessing it is to be saved and to be part of this family. But it's God the Father. It's about Him. The second person of the Trinity is Jesus, who is the Word. Who is the Son? He is the Son, but He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1. He was the way that we can get back to the Father through the cross. We sang about it. Through His death and resurrection. The third person of the Trinity is a person, and His name is the Holy Spirit. He has feelings. You know that you can hurt the Holy Spirit's feelings. You can lie to Him. You can try to trick Him. He's not this airy fairy thing that's intangible. He's a person. And the Father sent the Son to send the Spirit to live in us, to lead us and to guide us into all truth. We're going to read about that just now. Not to do weird things or to try twist God's hand into Him doing what we want Him to do. He gave us a Spirit so we can become more like His Son, so we can reflect the Father's glory. And so can I ask this, like, how many voices, rubbish voices? I mean, I'm seeing this trend now. AI, let me speak about AI, against AI. I'm not very unpopular now with the young guys, but AI, I think, is one of the most destructive things on earth right now. Because people always try to take the easy road out. Always. I'm included in that. What AI does is makes us stupid because we don't have to think anymore for ourselves. You know, we don't even have to have a revelation of who God is for ourselves. We can just go onto YouTube. We can find some AI-generated nonsense. We can drop that onto our comm groups, which is happening in this congregation. Just this weird AI things coming all the time. And we're like, now God has revealed Himself. No, I don't even know if that's the Holy Spirit. That's some computer-generated thing, because they're taking all this weird information, they're putting it together, they're putting it into a nice video, and then we're sending it out to encourage each other. That is not the Word of God. That is us being lazy and trying to listen to some voice that isn't even God, probably. Well, that went very deep very quickly. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have started with that. But like, we've got to be careful. We've got to, what is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? What is he saying? And is he actually speaking to us? Or is it just worldly systems? Anyways, let's not get too carried away. So let's start here. And I'm hearing this a lot too. My conscience, my conscience, my conscience. I can't go against my own conscience. And we can't, because the Bible says that. But do you know that you can have a seared conscience? So let's read it together quickly. 1 Timothy 4 verses 1 and 2. Yo, you're on fire tonight. That was super quick. So now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, do you think we're living in the last times? Do you think we're living in the last times? I think we're living in the last times. We'll turn away from true faith and they'll follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Who's he writing to? Who's Paul writing to? Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a pastor of a what? Ooh. So guys, get this. The Holy Spirit is warning us, and this is one scripture. You go to Romans, you go to Galatians, you go to Colossians, you go to the book of Revelation. Most of the epistles, most of the Old Testament is going, guys, the Holy Spirit is trying to work in you so that you don't be led away by deceptive spirits and demons. I'm smiling because it's quite a heavy scripture. And so the Holy Spirit is warning us, guys, don't do the easy thing. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is a narrow door. It's a narrow pathway. It's hard to find. If it's easy, I'll question it. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many follow it. And so I want to just throw this thing out. Just because you find it on YouTube doesn't mean it's the word of God. Doesn't mean it's the Spirit speaking to you. Is it true? I think I lost something. I was like, and in verse 2 it says, these people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. So he's saying to people in the church, you think you're following the Spirit of God. You're not. You're following your own dead conscience. That's what he's saying. And then we attribute that to the Spirit of God, and it's not. And then you want to find out, why are we not growing in the Lord? Why do I not have peace? Why are my gifts not being used? Why are the leaders overlooking me and overlooking me and overlooking me? It's because there's no Spirit in you. Well, there is a Spirit in you, but there's not this Holy Spirit in you. I don't know if that makes, doesn't make sense. I was like, and so, it's because of those, all that. So what I've done is, in my life, I'm like, shame, Abby and I actually had a conversation today. She's like, Brent, I don't know if you crossed with me or what's happening here. Very quiet. I'm like, I'm in contemplative mode. I'm trying to dumb out all the stupid voices in my own heart, and because it's deceitful first, and all the nonsense. I'm trying to like quieten to hear the Lord. Like, God, I want to hear you. I don't want to hear flipping those. And even when I'm preaching, let me, I've spent a lot of time putting this message together, asking the Lord to speak to me through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit. Your job is not to just listen to what I'm saying, go and just take it. Your job is to go home, go back to the scriptures, write them down, go find out if I'm actually telling you the truth. To find the Spirit for yourself. I'm here just to spark something in you, because the Word is living and active, but your job is to take it and let it get in you and let the Spirit start speaking. Does it make sense? And so you can have a dead conscience. As a Christian, you can have a dead conscience because, I wasn't going to bring this up, but maybe I should. I don't know if I should. How many minutes do I have left? 20 minutes. I was thinking about the unforgivable sin the other day because I was like, what is it? Because it's like that, have you ever read that? Like there's this unforgivable sin. Like once you do it, it's done. And that should bring panic to us who love Jesus. Do you know what I think it is? The Holy Spirit is our counselor, our guide. He's the one that leads us, the ones that speaks to us. He brings us into all truth. If we start turning our back on the Holy Spirit and we do that long enough, the truth isn't in us anymore. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings life. Like I'm preaching now, I can preach until I'm blue in the face. If the Holy Spirit doesn't do something in us, it's just a talk. And so with seared conscience, and a seared conscience, and a seared conscience, and a deliberate act of sin, and a deliberate act of going against the Spirit, and when he's nagging us, and he's like, come on, Brett, and I'm like, ah, this is hard. Rather be there than just sear your conscience and move away from the Holy Spirit. Because I think the moment the Spirit leaves us is the moment we're in deep, deep trouble. Because we have no longer a counselor, no longer a guide, no longer someone that brings, reminds us of the truth that we're going to see just now. I'll read these scriptures. Woo! And then it's just a spiral out of. Okay, so let's start on the hard stuff and let's get into the good stuff. Good news. You can have a clear conscience as well. Let's go, good news. Oh, no. Acts 24:16. It's like, because of this, and he's talking about the Gentiles and how they're finding God, and go read it. It's awesome. It says, because of this, I always try and maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. And so as much as our consciences can be seared, there is an opportunity that we can have a clear conscience. Remember the word of God says, be alert and sober-minded. Be sober-minded and alert. There's other scriptures in, like, be still and know that I am God. And if you think of the, I'm not going to do Jonah. Don't go Jonah. I'm just going, I love Jonah. I've been studying the book of Jonah this week. But, like, we can have a clear conscience before the Lord. 1 Timothy 1:5. The purpose of my instructions is that all believers will be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clean conscience, and genuine faith. And so if we open ourselves to the real Holy Spirit, not a flipping YouTube thing or some secondhand preach, if you get into the Word, you quieten the voices. Because I do believe that God is speaking all the time to everybody. I have to believe that because He's God and He wants us to know Him. And we take His instructions. We can be filled with a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. Does it? Oh, you go. It's like, is it good? It's scary good. Okay, so who wants a clear conscience? Okay, good, sure. Okay, good. Sure. I was like, one guy said, no, I don't. I'm like, ah, challenge accepted. So how do we renew our minds then? How do we, because a conscience is a mind thing. It's the way we think. It's the way we process things. Like who wobbled a little bit when I said the salvation is not about you? Who wobbled? Like don't answer. Don't, but like who, what, like if you wobble, there's something you don't understand God. Remember, like if the more we understand God, the more we understand Him, and the more we'll have life in Him. So how do we do this? Romans 12:2 is, it's very practical and awesome. We know this so well, but let's. So don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. What is this? Yeah. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So, who changes the way you think? Who? Can you say a little bit louder?
God.
Not you? Not a YouTube video? Not a friend? Not a foe? Who changes you from the inside out? Who's this thing about? God. We can't forget that. How? Through the Spirit, actually being the Spirit. Into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, His good and pleasing and perfect will. And so when we actually allow the true Spirit of God to do something in us, He transforms the way we think so that we will learn to know God's ways. So who thinks they know God's ways fairly well? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm erring on the side of, I think so. And then I read the book of Jonah again and He messes me up. And I'm like, I've read Jonah 3 times this year, God, about flipping animals. Because we were speaking about, I don't like to pray for animals. But it says there right at the end, like, it's so crazy. It's like, God was concerned about 120,000 people that were going to a lost eternity and the animals. And I'm like, why did you put the animals in there? I don't understand. And I've never seen that. I mean, I've been through the Bible 3 times this year, and I just didn't. I've never seen. I'm like, what is? I love it. Hunting animals. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, tree huggers. But like, who doesn't want to know God's will? Who doesn't want to know that it's good and pleasing and perfect? Philippians 4:8. Dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Okay, so God wants to change us from the inside out. We have a part to play in this. That's what I love about it. Fix your thoughts on what is true. So God wants to change us. He's the one that does it, right? The way that happens is we need to position ourselves to fix our thoughts on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think above such things that are excellent and worthy of all praise. How much of the news, like World War III is coming and this oak's getting his head cut off and that guy's killing this guy. And like, we think, like, maybe it's just my YouTube feed, I don't know. But and I was like, the other day, I was like, what am I watching? So delete, not interested, not interested, not interested. Eventually, I didn't have a YouTube channel left. I was like, dang. But who thinks of, who fixes their thoughts on it? It's not even thinking, it's fixing. It's like, when I fix my eyes on my wife, I'm like gazing into her eyes. We're 19 years married, 25th of this month. I'm going to gaze into your eyes. It's going to be awesome. The kids wanted to come with. I said, no. Why would you want to come with? What's he going to do? It's going to be boring for you guys. But like, when we fix our eyes on what was going on? How did I get there? Anyways, when you fix your eyes, your gaze on something, you fix, you don't move. It's a staring competitions that my daughter loves to play with me. It's like, I'm fixed on you. We fix our thoughts on what is true. Not what we think is true, what is true. Doesn't matter, like, hopefully this is getting you guys thinking. Like, what is honorable? What is right? What is pure? So much impurity. So when you watch porn on a Sunday night after church, you're taking what God is wanting you to do, the purity, the love, the family, the honoring, and you just throw it out the window on what is impure and disgusting. And most of those girls that you're watching, if it's guys or girls, they're mostly on drugs, and they've been stolen from their families, and they've been put on a drug cycle, so they don't even know what they're doing, and they're actually real-life slaves. Someone's daughter, someone's wife, someone's... And we're like, oh God, come on. And then you want the Holy Spirit to move. Like, how can He move? And or unforgiveness, or taking something that's not yours, or like, Brett, how can you say that? Well, isn't it true? We want the Spirit. I want revival, man. I want God to revive every one of us here. I want us to come into this place and His presence is so thick and so beautiful that people just get lost in His presence and salvations and baptisms and healings and the demons fleeing and people coming out of like sin cycles and just, He's the one that does that, but we have to be the ones to position ourselves for His Spirit to move. We can't do the things of the world out there and then think we come for one meeting on a Sunday for an hour and a half and things are going to bring the... No, it's every moment of every day we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come and to let us fix our eyes on Him and what He wants. That went way different to what I was hoping for. Sorry about that. Listen to this. John 14:26. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, this is Jesus speaking, by the way, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Now, this is the thing about the Holy Spirit that we forget. How can the Holy Spirit remind you of something that you've not read or know? Have you ever thought of that? Like, if you read that scripture, like, He's an advocate will stand on your behalf and fight your case before the judge. That's a beautiful picture. And so for those who are saved, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? On that last day, it's going to be a terrifying day. We're all going to be judged, but some of us will be like, we'll be standing there and all the stuff that we've been done was bad. And Jesus will go, no, hold on. Through the Holy Spirit, I've covered Him. He's mine. Yes, He made mistakes, but the penalty is not on Him. The penalty is on me. That's a beautiful thing, right? That's the advocate. He'll fight for us as my representative, the Holy Spirit, the person. So how does he teach you something that you've never read? See, living fully in the Holy Spirit, we have to know the word from last week. That's the first satellite. The second satellite is the Spirit reminds us of what Jesus spoke to us in the word. And it's not this. I came home one day and there were some Chinese looking people in my home. Or Korean or whatever they were.
I was young.
You were young. No, no, but you did, Shem. Abby's heart was like, she wants to reach out to these guys. And I walk in and I'm like, what the heck are these Chinese people doing in my home? And then I hear Mother God. And I'm like, oh dear Lord, it's those guys. Shame. And Abby was like, I was trying to do a theological thing with them. And I just said, get out of my house now. Otherwise, I'm going to chuck you out. I got no time for you. Because they use the scripture. Oh, the Holy Spirit will remind you that God is a woman. I'm like, the Bible never says that. He's not a mother. He's a father. Like, where have you ever read? No, though, but the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything. No, he's not. That is demonic. Get out of my house. Chuck them out. Abby was a little bit upset with me because I was quite rude. Physically. And I'm thinking, they're taking that scripture and they're trying to, they're making it say what they want to say with this weird theology. Can I just say this quickly about the Bible and theology and the Holy Spirit? If it's new, it's probably not the Holy Spirit. There is nothing new under the sun. And you might be bored of me preaching this stuff over and over and over again, but I can't preach anything else because there's nothing new. Until we get this, we have to preach this. Sorry, Babs, I didn't mean to put you in a bad light. You did great. You mean I just have less grace for people like that. But it was a little bit unsafe. So when we get the clutter out of our lives and we actually allow the Holy Spirit to teach us what the Bible's already been said to us, when we have this firm foundation of the truth, of honorable things, of pure things, of trustworthy things, then what happens is we start to know God. And then prophecy is not just regurgitating a song lyrics or this weird thing or whatever. It's actually God speaking through a man or a woman to the body to encourage them, to build them up, and to edify so that we can go out there and tell people about Jesus. Or when we pray, there's power. Or when we love each other, it's actually true love. Does it make sense? It's like, and so I'm going to start landing because I got like 6 minutes and 34 seconds. So we might not make this. And then what happens is, so when the Holy Spirit's moving and he's doing stuff, the test is not an outward thing. It's an inward change. Okay, so we got to get this. So Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And so if you want to know if you're actually hearing the Spirit of God or not, what will happen is you'll see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control start flowing out of you. See, the test is not an outward thing. It's not what I look like. Like, how can you look, how can you be a pastor and you look like you look? I don't know that God made me this way. Why are you laughing so hard? Flipping savages. So people think, like, remember, God doesn't look at the outside. God looks at the heart. Remember that. Said that about David and Saul. What should come out of us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. If that's not coming out of us, and it's normally where no one else is looking, it's easy to put on a mask when we come to church. It is. It's easy because it's like an hour and a half. We can get it done. We can put on our brave face. We can say the right things. We can even dress the right way maybe, but I'm confused. I don't know how to dress the church. And we can go home and you have a totally different life. And none of these things are evident. I think you're in a very, 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 very dangerous, place. And revival will never come. And that satellite, remember, this is safety, hey? If the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is actually speaking to us, we're in a safe place. Okay, so I'm going to end with this. The Holy Spirit can only teach us what Jesus allowed him to teach. And Jesus is only allowed to teach the Holy Spirit what to teach us because of what God taught him. So let me read these scriptures very quickly. So John 5:26. Sorry, I'm going to muddle up my scriptures a little bit here. But John 5:26 wasn't the next one. But it says this: the Father has life in himself, and he has granted that the same life-giving power is in his Son. And so God the Father is over everyone and over everything. He brings glory to himself. God the Father is God the Father. He has life in himself. That's amazing. And because he's got life in himself, because he's holy, because he's awesome, because he's magnificent, he can do whatever he wants to do. And whatever he does is absolutely right, absolutely loving, absolutely perfect in every way. He's never failed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then Jesus comes, John 5:19, please, young man. And Jesus gave this answer. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. This is so cool. He does only what he sees his Father doing. Whatever his Father does, his Son does also. Doesn't make start making sense to you? So the way we follow the Spirit is not what Brett thinks or what the song that we sang thinks or what YouTube is telling us or what some random guy that's preaching to you that you don't even know his life is about. It's only what the Father has told the Son to do. And then the last scripture, and then I'm going to land, is John 16:12-13. And this is all Jesus speaking. These are his words. There is so much more I want to tell you, but I can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. And so what I love about the Holy Spirit and about accountability and about digging wells so that we can find him, it's not about us. Actually, at the end of the day, it's about the Father and his glory who sent his Son to do what he was called to do, to die for us, to live again so we could have life, so that the Holy Spirit that I believe is living in every single one of us who believe can lead us into truth, into freedom. You know, there's other scriptures that say where the Spirit of God is, there's freedom. Where the Spirit is, there's life, there's joy, there's oh, it's so cool. And so I want to end there. I want to ask us, do we want to be a congregation and a church and families and individuals that are filled with life in the Spirit, that the Word of God is so active in our lives and that we are so open to the Holy Spirit speaking to us that we have the fruits of His Spirit? So that we can know His ways and live in His life and not be drawn into the things of this world. Can I pray for us? And then let's see what we have. I don't know how we're going to land yet. So let's just see here quick. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that you're all-powerful, Father, all-knowing. Thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you that it's not by chance that we are here tonight. Thank you that while we are still sinners, while we are enemies of you and your kingdom, you sent your Son Jesus to die, that he could overcome sin and death, that I could be raised again on the third day, conquering our sin, conquering death, overcoming the devil and Satan and the demons and the demonic. to be at the right hand of you, the Father, right now, interceding for us every moment of every day so that we could be like him. Promising us the Holy Spirit, who is a person, who is our counselor and our guide into all truth. Thank you that we could be filled with your Spirit. Men and women who can live by your Spirit to produce fruit that is fruit of your kingdom. So right now, wherever you are with the Lord, I mean, some of us are closer than others. If you want his Spirit to pour upon you afresh in truth, Jesus said, as fallen fathers, you give good gifts to your children. And who gives a scorpion when his son asks for a loaf of bread? How much more am I a good father to you that if you ask for my Spirit, I will give it? And that's the Bible saying that. That's not bread. And so right now, could I ask you, if you want the Spirit of God to be active and more active in your life, if you could ask him to do that for you right now, come before him as a good father. He wants to give you his Spirit again afresh tonight. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to have life in him. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to overcome sin. Ask him. Lord, for all those voices that might be trying to distract in our hearts, it's so often that happens to me when I'm trying to focus on you, God. So many other thoughts and voices and unresolved issues and worries of tomorrow and all of that. Lord, we want to ask that you'll just nullify those voices quickly right now in this moment, Lord, that we will find your Spirit, maybe even for the first time for some of us. That your voice will be clearer than ever before. That you'll unblock those ears that are blocked. Those hearts that have been maybe been hardened and consciences that have been seared. You do that, Lord. You, the only one that can do that, Lord. I ask right now, Lord, that you will start popping in scriptures in place of those voices that are trying to distract. That you will remind us of the truth. Feel like there's some in this place, you're going, how can God love me? As you're praying and as you're trying to find his Spirit, you're going, how can God love me? I'm unlovable. That's not true. But God so loved the world that he gave his Son for you. That whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God loves you. For those who might be struggling with the thoughts of, I'm not good enough, I can't be used. That's not true. Before the foundation of the earth, God knew you and knit you in your mother's womb. He breathed life into you. You are worthy because of him that lives in you. For those who have been struggling right now as we're praying and asking the Holy Spirit, you're saying to yourself, I can never get out of this sin cycle. That's not true. God came to break the chains of sin through Jesus Christ. And James says, don't say that God is tempting me, because God doesn't tempt. We are only taken away by our own evil desires. The Holy Spirit is saying to you tonight, if you're that person or those people, That is not true. You can at any time choose not to go with those evil desires because of the Spirit that is put in you. For those who might be prideful, I was reading the book of James this week as well, and he was saying, humble yourself before the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So the way we overcome pride is humbling ourselves before the King. And by doing that, you automatically resist the devil because he is pride. For those who might have lost your joy a little bit, and you might be going, I don't know if I could ever get this joy back. That's not true. There's many psalms that speak about turning sadness into joy and ashes into beauty. There's scriptures that say that the joy of the Lord is our strength. For those who might have that voice in them saying, you're not clever enough to understand this, that's not true either. The gospel is simple enough that every single person on earth can understand it by the Spirit. For those that might find themselves in condemnation because you've made bad decisions in the past, and you might be going, I can't recover from this. That's not true either. One thing that the Lord dropped on my heart this week is this. We can't look backwards because backwards is history. The Bible teaches us to look forward because that's where our hope is. And so for those who might go, man, don't look back, guys. Paul wrote to Timothy, like, don't forget the former things. Fix your eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hope is in front of us, not behind us. I'm going to land here. There might be people here tonight that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You've never got to that place where you've gone, I want Jesus to be my Redeemer, the one who saved me from my sin, my King. You might have been living for yourself or for friends or for pleasure or for whatever it is. And in this moment, you're having this niggling feeling like, man, my life isn't actually my own. I don't want it to be my own. I want it to be Jesus's. When Jesus walked this earth, he said, to become a child of God, you got to do two things. You got to believe in your heart that he is who he says he is, as the scriptures say, that he came to die and he rose again to take the sins of the world away. And you need to confess it with your mouth that he is King. And salvation comes in that moment. And so if you don't know who he is and you've never given your life to him, it's so cool. It's a free gift. All you need to do is go, I'm taking it. The way I take it is, I want to believe in my heart that Jesus is who he is, and I'm confessing it to him. So right now, where you are, where you're sitting, all you need to do is just say, God, I believe. I want to live for you. Forgive me. I commit my life to you. From this day forward, I want the Spirit of God to be a satellite to keep me safe in the bounds of God's kingdom by his word. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. Oh.